Hello, and welcome to Detox the World's Guided Rose Cleanse. You are listening to the Week 4 live Q&A call with Natalia Rose, recorded January 24th, 2012. Thank you for joining, and we wish you well on your journey. Welcome, everybody. This is our final live Q&A call with Natalia. So, Natalia, go ahead and take it away.
Okay. I hope everyone is feeling wonderful. This is a really exciting point that you've all reached. And I just wanted to, had a little thought I wanted to share, kind of linked up with, made me think of you guys. A long time ago, I remember thinking, after I'd cleansed significantly, see, this is the point where I could see my body coming back to life with new form and that feeling of undeniable sense of well-being, that which you're all tapping into now. I remember thinking at that point, if only I could just get inside each person and do it for them. I could do that, and I could hand them back their body, and they'd be all set. And I was thinking about this the other day while I was helping my son with his homework. It was long division, and I just wanted to jump right in there and solve the problem for him because, from my vantage point, the way through was so incredibly apparent. I knew the next step my son needed to take to bring about the solution, and I was just waiting with bated breath for him to remember to bring the number down so we could divide again. But then I reminded myself that we all learned long division, but we didn't learn because someone else did it for us. We learned it by knowing the order of operations and applying that to one problem after another. Practice. Our teacher, or parents, or siblings, they may have helped us, but at the end of the day, we had to eventually know all the steps and own the process. Well, I have a similar response with my cleansing students. I can see the road ahead for them clearly, and my instinct is to want to be at your side and be ready to jump in and provide the solution for each one of you as you meet with your everyday challenges and questions. But I can't be there to do the mental math for your human petri dish. I can only give you the tools so you can know how to do it and navigate each challenge or problem for yourself along the way. That's the way a teacher creates masters rather than perpetually dependent students. I don't want you to have to depend on me beyond a reasonable point or even on the community, though it's all going to be here for you. I want you to have the level of understanding of how this all works so you can do it anywhere, anytime, and even in the face of adversity, remain unflinching because it's your knowledge and your truth, not something you only partially understand, but something you fully understand. I want you to master this like you mastered long division. Assuming you master long division. You don't need your tutor, teacher at your side anymore to make sure you get the right answer. Like with any multi-step method, you have to practice. Now, if you make mistakes in math, you have to erase, and then you go back to the principles to determine where you went wrong. The same thing applies as you carry your cleansing lifestyle forward. And just like with math, you can always check your work, because the solution should prove the method advised to be correct time and again. If your knowledge of the method and your order of operations is correct, and you leave room for the constants, which are lineage and emotional and social factors, you will always be able to make the right choice. The dangers come only when you deny the method or the order of operations. This happens when you feel bullied or intimidated to do what you know is best for yourself. It also comes when you don't realize that you may still be caught up in this cultural program that's given you all these messages that run in conflict with what you've learned here and experienced firsthand. You can choose to get into the silence at that point, reestablishing and confirming your inner knowing, and proceed to live your own life, or you can cave to the pressures and allow confusion and fear to paralyze your will so you do what the outside world and programmed voices from your culture tell you is best for you. Have you looked at our culture lately? That ship is going down. You already know this either consciously or subconsciously. The culture is sick and getting sicker on every level. The masses are getting number, more drugged up, more enslaved by their debts and consumption of things they don't even really want or need. Even if they get the right degrees, jobs, cars, and house, they're mostly miserable, dragging their feet in chains through a life path that has them wasting away. This is not the time to get your direction from the culture or any of its institutions. This is the time to do what is harmonious, despite the fact that what is harmonious for your body and your whole state of being may go in a very different direction to the culture. The cultural paradigm and program are in full opposition to harmony and are doomed. I repeat, this is not the time to get your direction from the culture. So my advice to you as you move forward is to study the process of cleansing like you would any university-level course until you feel you've mastered it, and then don't deny the powerful effects when the culture presents fears around it. Stick with what you know works. You know the alternative doesn't work. Okay, so changing tracks a bit, on a more positive note, it's week four, and what a milestone. By this point, you probably all come to a few collective revelations. You've realized that in order to upgrade, the body needs to release what is stuck rather than take in new substances or supplements. Healing and vitalization are only as far away as removing stuck matter and allowing the natural life force that is all around you and in your high vibration water-containing sun foods to flow. That's an incredibly empowering realization, since we swim in a health and diet culture that is obsessed with supplements and so-called health foods, superfoods, and products which you now know are not only ineffective, but in many cases are in fact undermining. In short, the problems of the body, mind, and emotions, the problems that the body, the mind, and the emotions suffer from can only be remedied by unblocking the body. These tend to unblock in concert. So when the body unblocks, the mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies follow. Most of you have also killed off huge colonies of yeast in your system and are feeling remarkably lighter, less puffy, less drawn to sugars and starches because of that. This is a major triumph, but one that you should continue to work on until you're fully rid of any yeast imbalance, and even then, observe closely to ensure these colonies never return. You've probably discovered that you will not die or pass out if you don't eat breakfast or lunch for 3 weeks, and you felt the power of fresh green juice in an empty system. Now, if you were to remove breakfast and lunch without providing the juice and without unblocking the system, you could pass out and you would not likely feel well. But you've learned that this kind of systematic undereating is done in a very specific context. That's why it's also so hard for the uninitiated to understand it. In theory, to those who don't understand internal blockages and life force, abstaining from breakfast and lunch appears only to be restrictive, and it would seem like it would withhold energy and nutrients. But you know that in this context, that's not the case. You've also witnessed firsthand how magnetic alkaline juice is, just the power of how incredibly magnetic that alkaline juice is, because you've seen the result of it in your colonics. That prolific release that could not occur if you hadn't been soaking old waste in this alkaline hydration. You've also probably noted that your weekly colonics are incredibly prolific, even though you're just eating one meal a day. This, of course, is also a credit to how much old waste the daily juicing till dinner is hydrating and magnetizing out of the cells and tissues. Tease it up for the elimination. This will continue for as long as you provide the juices and the eliminative support. You may actually have been amazed by how much is inside you. And I urge you to try to never forget it. Remember that how much is in you in those moments down the road when you're not feeling so energetic and light and you find yourself considering taking a superfood or a supplement to fix it. A decreased state of health or vitality or increased weight is not going to be remedied by taking something into your body. You're feeling this way or having this effect because there are blockages again. Something needs to leave. You've gotten a peek at the quantities of matter that have accumulated over the decades. Use that knowledge to remind you of why and where excess weight, symptoms, and disease originate. You've also learned that your creativity, productivity, and general life experience are far better, not to mention your mind and emotions are clearer and more centered. All this when your intestine is clear and you eat mostly water-containing vegetables rather than dense foods. Your body is made for water-containing plant foods. Everything else brings your vibration, energy, creativity, and joy down. This tells us a great deal about what we really are and how far off our culture is when it comes to understanding the human organism and psyche. What you now know about what really, truly constitutes human food turns every cultural health convention on its head. The fact is, and I say this boldly with complete conviction, the widespread accepted dietary model has it wrong. There are pyramids, square meals, emphasis on whole grains, legumes, lean protein, which might sound good, are not. It's completely erroneous. When these foods are consumed by a person like you who is becoming more and more open and unblocked, you'll notice that they make you feel less vibrant, less creative, less inspired, more depressed, more anxious. They bring on symptoms rather than end them. If that's not evidence enough as to what is supportive to the human organism and the human being, I don't know what is. You don't need a research laboratory to tell you that you feel worse after eating dense foods and better after eating water-containing plant foods. We need to tune into our authentic electrophysical nature to determine what feels best inside us. Whatever you consume is a very intimate exchange. When you bring a substance into your body, you're cell-to-cell with it. It is becoming your blood and tissues. You're co-creating your body with it. Think about this when you consider the biochemistry of a fresh orange versus chicken fingers or roasted beets versus spaghetti and meatballs. The only thing that stands between you moving further and further away from dense foods is the core belief that water-containing plant foods are not enough for you. That is just part of the programming. They absolutely are enough, and better than enough, they keep the body in its most thriving state. The dense foods, by contrast, are the completely unnecessary ones. But like me, you might still want to enjoy some of the lesser evil, non-water-containing foods like the goat cheese, fish, buckwheat, but you don't need them for any other reason than to provide a small amount of acidity to prevent overly aggressive cleansing and for pure desire. You'll find that while delicious, and you'll find that even if you want to keep including them, they still bring your vibe down. This is why we learn to save them for the end of the day when lower energy is not so inconvenient. Okay, so keeping them in their place, not fully rejecting them, but knowing that you could conceivably move further and further away from these dense foods and more toward the water-containing plant foods as part of a daily experience. Okay, so today I want to continue to explore the questions that have come into the discussion room and take new questions in. And I want to do it all in the spirit of you gaining mastery on the subject matter. So when we bring this or wrap this wonderful 30 days up, you can walk confidently into the future with this knowledge. Okay, so moving on to some questions, and then we'll open up the lines. Question about natural sugar, and it comes from somebody who feels that their mind functions better if they incorporate some natural sugar in, and it seems that they don't seem to have a real yeast issue. And in that case, you know, if they wanted to put some maple syrup into their fish dish, you know, like the maple glazed salmon, which is so delicious, or use some agave to sweeten, that can be done in moderation. That's actually one of my least favorite words. It can be done occasionally if it feels right, and the person who knows it's right for them will do it because they'll know it's right, because you can hold everything up in the light of how cleansing works, how the body works, and then you can know intuitively that your body responds really well to something. So you don't ignore that. You listen to your body, and you can still, you know, continue in doing every other thing that seems to be working with the principles, and then incorporate that, because for this individual, it may be completely appropriate for them to take in some natural sugars, and in their situation, they might not be yeasted. So I would say just take that, take the way you feel, the way your mind works. In this instance, she says she studies better and functions better when she has some natural sugars. So by all means, go ahead and do it. There's no hard and fast rule. It's just the guidelines are given to avoid pitfalls. But if you are not going to fall into the pitfalls, if you incorporate something, then by all means do it. Okay, so a question about constipation. Someone who was constipated before starting the cleanse and then even after, why am I so constipated? And they're having kind of a dry elimination. Again, sorry, we talk about these things freely here. And that's simply because there's so much that has to be hydrated. And if the colonics are working, that's great because the system is less impacted. So, you know, the experience of not going to the bathroom on their own is still making them feel like they're constipated, but they're less constipated than they were before they hydrated the old waste and had the colonics. So that's a good thing. And remember, the more of this old waste that we equated to asphalt in a previous phone call is covering up the garden. It's covering up the all the good flora and everything. So it's only by removing that that the good flora and the peristalsis actually kick in. So my suggestion would just be to keep going, be patient, keep reconstituting the old waste, keep it coming out, and you'll have the breakthrough. Many, many of us have been where you are today, and it does change. It's just holding out for it. You can consider how old you are, how many decades, how many years this matter went in, what you consumed, and just never forget the depth of the waste and how dry it is in there and how deeply embedded it is in the cells and tissues. So some of you have a really easy response. You put the alkaline juices in, and it's quickly hydrated and magnetized out. And for others of you, it takes a lot more saturation in the hydrating alkalinity to get it to that point. So you just have to keep nose firmly to grindstone and plow through.
Natalia?
Yes.
Would that person or anyone experiencing that, would it make sense for them to take in more more juice than the average person, or is it just time?
Yeah, great question. Okay, so the move would not be to accelerate the cleansing substances or to increase the cleansing substances. If anything, to incorporate, you could always incorporate more water, and certainly aloe vera would be a really great companion for this. If you're doing aloe vera, you want to make sure you're getting whole raw aloe, not any kind of dilution or concentrate. You want it to be pure whole leaf aloe that's raw. And the company we love for that is Herbal Answer. And you'll notice the difference in the price because regular aloe vera that you'll find easily in any health food store will be about maybe $12 for the bottle, and this one's more like $25 or something. It's a different has a viscosity to it. It's not like a thin liquid, so that's what you want to use. And you can take 2 to 4 ounces a day. You can start with 2 and then work your way up to 4. And it's not going to have a laxative effect. It's just going to soothe and basically act like a salve on the intestine. It's gonna loosen up the scabby type. When you think about this old waste, you can kind of think about it in terms of scabby, that's dry and impacted. So it basically soothes the area so that can more easily come off the intestinal tissue for release. So the aloe vera is very, very helpful if you're using the right kind. And anything medicinal like that we use, we want to do it on an empty stomach. So you could do it before juice. You could do it, before dinner. But don't do it with food. And don't do it necessarily with juice either. Keep it separate. But that's very helpful. But really, it's just a matter of letting it soak more and more. And if you see that if you were to over-cleanse, if you were to put in more juice, it would just give you more of the alkalinity, which would try to magnetize more up. But if it wasn't hydrating enough and it wasn't sitting there, it could conceivably block things even further because what it did awaken could be too dense for the body to move out. So I still wouldn't accelerate the cleanse, but it's a very good question. It brings up the aloe that pretty much everybody should do at some point. And you could do it for quite a while. I mean, you probably take you a good month and a half to use up the whole bottle, and then you could give it a break for a while and then go back to it. But it's the kind of thing that until things are really working well again, you could use. And again, it's not a laxative. You won't become dependent on it. It's just helping soften things up so they can, be done away with. Okay. So, she says that she's taking the probiotics and all of that, and those are all very, very helpful things. And keep doing them, even if you're not seeing the results right away. It can take time. We're talking about reseeding and really creating a whole new intestine. So for some of you, that's, you know, it's going to take a little more time than others. There's no other way to do it, though. You know, what is the medical alternative is to, you know, cut portions of your intestine out, or to wind up with a colostomy bag, or, you know, those are certainly not options that I would, you know, want to put in the same category. What about bloating and gas after eating the vegetables? And that, imagine, see if you can get an internal visual. There was a great movie in the early 80s called Inner Space, where the guy goes into the body. Try and go into your body and get a visual of what it would be if you had this all this great vegetable juice hitting this old matter, and it's all being reconstituted, and it's moving around in the tissues, and then you put in a fresh raw vegetable salad, and it's the right thing to do, but because the body's still in a state of having to release and there's so much going on, it's the chaos before the order. So there's going to be some the bloating is coming from the reconstitution of the dried stuff, and the gas is coming from as a natural chemical reaction that's taking place in the body when the new salad hits the old matter, but it's all being reconstituted, it's all on its way out, so it's okay. You just have to kind of know, you have to expect it and be comfortable with the process. You know, if you wanted a flat tummy tomorrow and you were going to, like, you had 10 days to get, like, you know, skinny and flat-tummied, or 4 days, I would tell you to, you know, to do something like, you know, a high-protein diet, not touch fruit, not touch salads, and just have, you know, fish and eggs for, you know, for 3 or 4 days. Because those are contracting. Those are those foods are tight and tiny, and they're not going to put any, create any kind of upheaval in the body in the short term. Now they will in the long term, but if you wanted to feel that emptiness and that de-bloating, that's what you would do. This is why when people start cleansing, they're expecting to be skinny in a few days, and for some people, there's such huge relief, and that's what happens. But for most people, it's the awakening before the release, and that experience, that could go on for 3 weeks. It could happen not at all for the first few weeks, and then happen later based on where the body is and what it's doing first. Like somebody who's having great results in the beginning and might be contracting and like so excited about how their midsection looks, they might that initial matter might leave so easily and seamlessly, but then the deeper matter comes up, and like, what's going on here? I'm doing the same thing, but now I'm having a different effect. It's simply because of what's being awakened in the tissue and what's happening at a chemical level at that moment. So if you've got all these byproducts of gas coming up at that moment, you're going to have the puffiness and the bloat. But in the long term, it all calms down. It all contracts as this waste leaves. You just have to get it up and out. It's like the analogy of cleaning out your closet. And, you know, and if you didn't do a really good job, you're going to pull everything out, and your room is going to look like a disaster for a couple of hours. And then you're going to get rid of all the stuff you don't need. And you're going to replace everything that you do want to keep in a nice, neat, orderly way. And everything's going to be gorgeous, but in the interim, it looks crazy and chaotic. So that's all this is about. And just remembering, even in long term, that large raw vegetable salads, they are, I have this one blog called "A Salad in Motion Remains in Motion," and it's something to read. It just is a good reminder of how this food that has all this kinetic energy, it's alive and mobile. So when you take it in, it doesn't just disappear in your body. It goes in, and it's alkalinizing. It's nourishing, it's busy, it's alive. And so, you know, it's going to be alive until it gets dehydrated enough to move on or move on out of you. The residue is going to eventually calm down. But in the moment you've taken it in the few hours to follow, it, you know, could be that your stomach, you know, it's kind of like when you breathe. The idea, and you've, Amanda, you've given us such wonderful breathing exercises. When you inhale, your stomach should expand. When you exhale, your belly should contract, and your navel should kiss your spine. And so it's the same idea. When we take food in, let's not expect ourselves to just shrink up real quick. If we're taking in the right foods, it's like oxygen. We're taking it in and we're filling. We're filling with life force, we're filling with oxygen and all the vitality. And then we're exhaling and we pass it out of us. So it's one of those things we have to be sort of mentally agile with the way you think about this information and this knowledge, and that's a big part of mastery around it. Okay, coffee enema, somebody asked about, but I think we addressed that already. If not, I'll just briefly say that for some people, they have great results with it. It's usually newbies who have great results because it's a stimulation. It's a stimulant. So I don't personally don't recommend them because it's a stimulant, and because a few times I've tried them on myself, I've actually had the experience of feeling like I've had caffeine, and I haven't had coffee for over 12 years. So I know, I was distinctly able to feel it, and it felt like it gave me the jitters. So I think it depends on what kind of body it's going into. If you're used to caffeine, you might not feel that. If your body's significantly blocked, you might not feel that. But I don't recommend it. Although if you're having this amazing success with it, and it's helping to move quantities of matter out of your body, as opposed to not using it and not moving that well with your enemas, then for the time being, it's working for you, but it is a stimulation and it is acidic. So just bear all that in mind and make your own decision. Hemorrhoids, always a fun one. So hemorrhoids are just the fact that they could be coming up. It's they could come up in previous to the cleanse. They could come up in the middle. They could come up later on. It's just another expression of the inflammation in the intestine. And whether we're talking about hemorrhoids or we're talking about constipation, inflammation, diverticulitis, Crohn's, all these things are just symptoms of the inflammation that's in the intestine because of the erroneous way we've been consuming food. So try not to focus too much on the external symptom or the symptom that's being experienced in the moment, because that's all going to transform with time. They will go away. That's just all you need, to keep you motivated. They will go away. It's all temporary. And I don't know anyone who's done this long term who complains of hemorrhoids, or for whom that's a problem, or any of those irritable bowel syndrome sorts of umbrella symptoms. Okay, organ removal. This is a really important one, and I'm glad that this came up. It's becoming more and more commonplace to have these organectomies. And, they can absolutely be avoided if we didn't get into the situation to begin with. But now that we're here, now that you're there and you've had the situation of a partial gallbladder or, in this case, and somebody else had doesn't have their spleen or their appendix, now that, the endocrine glands are the spleen in particular and all of them, thyroid, they're all significant in that they secrete hormones that are important, and it can really mess with our whole balance of body if they're removed, even partially. But that's something that can, the only way to really to deal with endocrine glands having been partially or completely removed is to balance the body as much as possible, to remove as much obstruction so that anything that, in every possible way, we can ease the burden on, how can I put this? The things that they were created to do, they won't be able to do, but it won't be such a big deal if we can get everything else in line. So for people for whom that's an issue, it's even more important to walk this path as true blue as you can, because just if you want to avoid falling apart. So it should give you even more reason to stick with it. Gallbladder, it's needed to break down the fats and proteins along with the liver. So if you don't have a gallbladder or you have a partial gallbladder, then you're going to want to make even more sure that you're not taking in excess oils and proteins and cooked fats and cooked proteins. So it really, the way to navigate something like that is just to say, okay, well, if this is, no matter what the organ is, if you have an organ that's compromised in any way, you say, okay, well, if that organ was meant to do this job and that job can't be done very well anymore, then I need to make sure that I don't overwhelm my body with the necessity that this job can't fulfill anymore. I hope that makes sense. So if you have a compromised pancreas. You know, I've worked with people who have partial pancreas. And in their case, it's even more important to stay away from the sugars and starches because the pancreas is there to break those things down. So it's just figuring out what's behind the organ, what its job is, and then relieving the load on it as much as possible. And appendix is often, appendicitis is often confused with a cecum being overwhelmed because the cecum and the appendix are right next to each other. And so if the cecum's really, really full and the intestine is impacted, then you can have what is considered an appendicitis. But really, it's all coming from a bowel, a depth of accumulation in the bowel. You know, just to keep that in mind. All right. And somebody has a sore, dry, and crackly throat with coughing. And what do you recommend to help? Anytime we have any area in the body, whether it's topically on our skin or something in our throat or in the other various caves of our body, that it's all just an expression of what the system is going through. It's all an expression of the inflammation, the fatigue, just the signs of modern living on the body. So, again, these are things, you know, like the hemorrhoids, that will go away as your system recalibrates and gets back into harmony. And just, again, don't think short-term. Know that if these things are coming up, it's because there's still more work to do. And if you, you know, when you feel the ease in your throat, when you feel the ease in the other various caverns and caves, and in your intestine calms down, then you'll know that you've done significant work. You know, people often ask, you know, even through the cleanse, there have been some questions of, I'm not having a lot of symptoms, so, you know, is it working? Well, yeah, it's definitely working because you're if you're not having symptoms and your body's dealing with it, if you are still having symptoms, it's evidence that there's a lot more to do. But we don't want to keep it in a little box of this is what the human body's capable of. Keep at it. See how far you can go. I never thought I could go this far. I thought I could just, you know, get into a cute pair of jeans and you know, and not have to go to the doctor so often and not take antibiotics so many times a year. I never thought that the human experience could be what it is now. And it's funny because now it's become so commonplace for me to feel consistently amazing that I almost can forget what the typical life experience is, even if it's not symptomatic or overweight. You know, it's a huge leap between feeling normal in the culture, not feeling symptomatic and not feeling overweight, to feeling how I feel today. So just keep in mind that having no symptoms, the absence of symptoms doesn't necessarily mean health, so you still could have a long way to go based on where your body's capable of going. Okay, so let's see here. I think there's a question about how to proceed when with juicing till dinner without feeling like you're pushing yourself before you're ready. And, you know, as this is, you know, for many of you, this may be your last week of juicing till dinner officially. You may be considering whether you want to juice one day a week until dinner or a couple days a month. And it's just a matter of finding what's appropriate for you. You'll know if you're pushing, if you're pushing. And if you're pushing, you're opposing nature, which we know is rule number one, you don't oppose nature. So if you're doing that, it will, and we wrote about this a little bit in our notes to you guys that's in the living room now. If you push the pendulum in one direction and it's extreme and it's not right for you, it's going to find another way of gravitating in the opposite direction. So you'll know if you're pushing yourself. And again, it's for you to tune in and say, what is the right thing for me now? Am I doing this because I need to prove something to myself or to the cleansing world? I don't know. But don't let yourself get caught up in that because that's not what it's about. If you're awakening and releasing, you're doing everything perfectly. If you're stressing and becoming neurotic, then there's something wrong with the math problem. You have to erase and go back. Okay, I think that's pretty much it. I'm happy to open up to questions from the group.
Okay, Natalia. One says, when Natalia speaks of water-containing plant foods that are all we really need for vitality, is she referring to them in a raw state? Would cooked veggies fall more into the category of the foods that are slightly denser and more acidic but serve to slow the cleanse and for enjoyment? In other words, are cooked veggies health regenerators or safe poisons?
Okay, excellent question. I'm sure a lot of people would like to know the answer to that. Okay, so here's the thing. When a food is raw, it's in its most water-containing state. So generally, when I speak about water-containing plant foods, 95% of the time or more, I'm going to be talking about raw, uncooked, in the raw, uncooked form. Now, how you cook and how long you cook will determine how much water is removed. So the more water that remains, the more quickly it will move through the body, and, you know, theoretically, the more vitality it would have, but, you know, once we cook foods, we know that they lose their vitality. And this is what makes a cooked vegetable not a life generator, but also not a poison, a safe poison or life deteriorator. It's what we consider to be neutral. And neutral is really helpful because if you put enough neutral in with your life generators, you're not going to over cleanse, but you won't have that low, that drop in vibration I was talking about earlier, that you would get from the safe poisons. So I noticed, for example, that if I eat the cooked beets, and I cook them in a special way where I leave them in the oven for what seems like an obscenely long time, for, you know, 4 or 5, sometimes 6 hours, but at very, very low heat, and meaning about 280, and I don't put anything on them. I just wash them, skins and all, pop them in the oven, and just leave them in there for half of the day. And they're still really juicy when they come out. They're sweet and juicy. They're just delicious. Now, they're not technically at their most water-containing, but when you bite into them, you can tell they're still really moist. It's not like eating goat cheese. So it's not a life deterior. It's not a health generator, but it's not far from. It's not going to inhibit you in any way. It's not to be considered alongside of fish and eggs and buckwheat and goat cheese.
So, Natalia, you're saying it doesn't leave residue in the body, or does it?
Well, anything can leave residue if the body's blocked. So what you'll find with most cooked vegetables is they leave really easily. But to say they don't leave any residue behind, you know, that would be impossible. Well, it would be possible to prove, because if you did the colonic the next day, you'd still find that it would continue to leave. Remember always that because of our lineage and because we take in way too much food, the bowel cannot eliminate everything that we take in. So it will be so much, it will, let's put it this way. You will get optimum elimination from water-containing plant foods and water and plant foods that are cooked that still have some water content to them. But, you know, I can't say absolutely that they would fully leave, because, you know, then we wouldn't need the colonics at all, because nothing would come out.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, let's go to Ellen on the phone.
I just have noticed, for whatever reasons, and I don't know what the combinations are, I have a lot of gas.
Yeah. Ellen, hi. It's good to hear your voice. So, you know, it's really what we talked about before. I know you've been doing this for a really long time, and it's just that there is no end to the, there can seem to be no end to the process sometimes. If you're getting into this after your 20s,
yeah,
that's with a lot of residue.
Ugh.
And it's also a matter of having, you know, the good regular colonics, which I know it sounds like I have a broken record half the time, but if the water containing plant foods are coming into the system and hitting old matter, even if it's not that old, even if
right.
it's last week's, you know, sweet potato, it's still going, we're living in a body, the whole thing is really alive. So to have absolutely no gas or absolutely no bloating after eating something would be impossible, but if you're having too much, it's simply a matter of combination of lineage, accumulation, and
right.
the biochemistry of the new food hitting what's sitting there.
Okay, because it's funny. I never remember having this when I was younger. It's just, maybe it is age-related in part and accumulation-related. I am getting colonics, by the way. I don't live in the city, and there's nobody I really like out here. But I have been getting them, when I come in. I'm going to come in tomorrow, and I'll have one tomorrow, and I'm going to have one the day after tomorrow. So I have been trying to get in and have some during this month.
That's good. I mean, it's a continual process, and you know, with life and in travels and various
mm-hmm.
things that can take you in and out of the cleansing process, those are the roadblocks that we hit. one of the reasons I find it's so easy for me to maintain my state, and the people who I know are able to manage it as well, is that they don't allow ebbs and flows, meaning that if they don't let their life take them out of what makes them well and makes their bodies operate optimally. So yeah. If I'm going on a trip, I'm going to make sure first and foremost that I have everything in place. I'm not compromising. I've got my juice. Either I have a juicer at the place or, and this may seem too much and neurotic to a lot of people, and that's fine, but just to expect that if you're not going to provide all those things for yourself that you know that you need, you will go through, you know, when you start to cleanse again, you'll start to revisit the same situations that you may have gotten over previously because you sustained it for a long time. So, well, it could be that there are things in those dense foods that you're eating that are maybe, and maybe there's some fruit going in, or maybe there's some other things that could be creating. Remember, always think of it in terms of the human petri dish. So if there's last week's chicken mixing with today's oranges and green juice and salad, you're going to have bloat. That's just the nature of what's going to happen in the body. If those oranges and green juice are coming into a completely empty system, then there's going to be absolute peace and harmony. It's the difference between where the body is at the moment that you, and what it's containing in the moment you put that substance inside your body. And that's the kind of thinking that's also going to give you the mastery, because you're going to know, okay, well, even though I know oranges and green juice are theoretically really cleansing and good for me, if I put them in at this point, it's going to have the opposite effect. Or like eating heavy to light. So if you've had a bunch of cooked food and then you have a raw salad on top of it, well, you might really want to have that salad. It might feel good to you at the moment, but don't be surprised if you have gas later. Just have to accept that as part of the human petri dish situation.
So you don't really mix the raw? It's not good to have a salad after a cooked meal or with a cooked meal?
Well, remember, we want to eat light to heavy, not heavy to light. So if you're going to have a salad and a cooked meal, it's best to have the salad and then the cooked meal, or the salad eaten along with the cooked food. But you wouldn't want to have the cooked food followed by the salad. And if that's going on, then I'm not surprised that you're having some gas, if that's a possibility.
Hey, thank you, Ellen.
Thanks, Ellen.
All right, Alicia, go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Amanda. Natalia, I have a really specific kind of question. I have to go into the hospital. I haven't set a date yet for an operation. Now, I'm going to continue, with the juicing till dinner. But my question is, I remember years ago, I don't know if it has changed, that hospital food is absolutely atrocious and does not heal you. So my question is, can I do this in the hospital?
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as, I don't know if they have any restrictions in terms of what you can bring in, but if you can have a friend bring you your goods, I don't see why not.
Okay, because that would, I would imagine it would facilitate my healing, right?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, I would say before you even go into the hospital, just create a shield of light around you and just be completely in harmony with everything, because you're going to have to neutralize, all kinds of things, not just the germs and the smells, but the whole mentality. So you're going to have to stay in a really good state of mind if you want to stay well, because just being in the hospital itself can be very acidic. But you don't have to let that happen to you if you're prepared to go into that. I think that the key word here is alkaline reserve, or the key term. So the juices and the salad.
I'd really continue with the juicing till dinner. Well, to be more specific, it's I just found out that my hips have degenerated so badly. I need a hip replacement surgery, and I'm terrified. And I was hoping that if I do this and get a lot of colonics beforehand, and maybe, as you said, if they allow me to bring in juices and such, a lot of good green stuff in the hospital, I could deflect the acidic, nature of the place.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry to hear that. Doctors have said that it can't be delayed?
the surgery?
No, I was told last year I went to the top surgeon at the hospital for special surgeries in Manhattan, mm-hmm. and he said, you have absolutely no cartilage in your hips. And he said, you know, hip replacement. So I said, fine. And then I put it off, hoping there would be something else. And unfortunately, I just got a CAT scan 2 Saturdays ago. And my doctor said, oh, my goodness, she said, your hips are really bad. If you don't get operated soon, you won't be able to walk. So I was hoping that there was some other miracle out there, but it seems like not. So, yeah, like I said, I'm terrified, but it looks like I have no choice. It looks like something, you know, a diet or lifestyle just won't regenerate my bones at this point, which, you know.
Well, I mean, the thing about bones, so interesting that we overlook, is that they're actually, I mean, this is going to sound almost science fiction, but our bones are a crystalline receptor transmitter. And, you know, we think of our bones as just being mineral that holds up our skin or something. And, you know, and this is, it just kind of brings up, maybe, you know, at the very least, it can help you. I don't know if it's going to work a miracle overnight, but this idea that your bones are much more than just the substance that makes them up, what, you know, what can be broken down to minerals like calcium, that they're meant to receive and transmit information. So they're information systems. And because of their crystalline nature, they don't, like anything else in this world that's being having to interface with all this, the front of the acidity and the negative charges, it gets broken down, not simply because of how we live and what we're putting in, but the fact that we're denying what it's really there to do. And so it's part of this idea that we're just like these physical things that, you know, we're just a blob of flesh and bone, and then we're really not. So you could send the message to your crystalline system that, you know, that you believe it can strengthen itself. I don't think it's going to, I mean, I don't know if you're going to be able to, even if you have to go through the surgery, I think you'll strengthen your whole skeletal system to support the surgery and to support your future body if you can keep this in mind and just know that with that that beautiful energy you can surround yourself with and continuing to do the things that you know are so regenerating and the green juices and all the things that will feed and support that crystalline network, that going forward you can prevent other things from going wrong.
Okay.
But you know, I would say you probably need to defer to the doctors on this, but but unless if there truly is no time for you, if there were time, I would say, you know, it'd be worth doing some things, but if they're saying that you've got to go do this, you know, now, then I'm not allowed to interfere with that. You know, but
well, of course that I understand. Yeah. But the thing is, it's funny. My doctor didn't really say, oh, you have to have this done tomorrow. She said, you really need to get this done or you will end up in a wheelchair. Well, they didn't say what, 1 month, 2 months, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to meet with her on Monday to discuss it further. But if I don't have to have it done, you know, tomorrow or whatever, I would definitely just continue on this a path of like totally more aggressive of, you know, juicing till dinner. I'm like a really stepped up healing program.
Right. As long as, I mean, I would put, if just like I would do for somebody with cancer, anything that's, you know, in an acute stage, you'd have to do all the things at once. So there's, of course, be the lots of juice and the colonics because, you know, your bone has been leached because of the acidity. So, you know, to rebuild bone from the inside out it's a pretty big feat. But to do that and to also think about everything you do in your life. So making the time to meditate, choosing guided meditations that can remind you of how it can basically send you the messages to send to your bone that are the right messages. All these things have to happen to not be in irradiated areas and surrounded by all this technology, to be in the life-generating environment in toto, not just to drink lots of green juice, you know, because
yeah.
that's just one facet. And if you need to make a big impact in a short amount of time, it's
mm-hmm.
going to require everything that broke you down to be out of the picture. Because that's basically what happened.
Yeah, truly, I must say, in my heart of hearts, I know everyone around me is like, what's the matter with you? Get this done. Operate. And in my heart of hearts, mm-hmm. I truly know that the body can regenerate itself. And I really want to give it a shot. I truly do. Like you said, not just the juicing, but now, as you said, just send my body light and the meditation and just everything and the colonics. So I really would like to try a really aggressive approach this way before they start slicing me up and putting foreign objects in my body. So
at least get several opinions of several different doctors and some who have an alternative take or who've seen things like this turn around. You know, just taking one or two doctors' word for it isn't enough if it's such an invasive procedure. And and most of all, not thinking singularly about this, but thinking about the whole life paradigm that has brought you to the point you are today, which is not
mm-hmm.
just your bones. It's your the mindset. It's the endocrine system. It's every emotion and experience you've had since you were born has brought you to this point. So what in that has contributed to the breakdown of your structure? And remember the bone, we talked about different organs that represent different emotions. Well, the bone is all about support. So when there's a bone issue, the thing to focus on is where have you felt unsupported in your life? Where do you now need to go in and be that support for yourself? And it's interesting because the way you're talking, you take it on this role of supporting yourself. And but there's so many different ways to approach the concept of support, but usually the bones are an indication on an emotional level, on the subconscious level of some sort of lack of support.
Okay, great. Thank you. I really appreciate your help on this. Thank you so much.
Oh, I really wish the best outcome for you. I'll be thinking of you.
Okay, thank you.
Actually, Alicia, before you go, one thing I wanted to do too is just recommend that you, if you can, watch the movie You Can Heal Your Life.
Interesting, Amanda, because I do have that, and I'm going to start watching it, I think, almost on a daily basis.
Great. Oh, good. Okay, so by Louise Hay, for anyone else interested. It's a really great movie.
Yeah.
Just there's a lot of testimonials in there of people who have used a lot of what Natalia was just talking about with the positive, to put it very simply, the positive affirmations and the, you know, surrounding yourself with positive thinking because of how powerful that is as well.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I have not. I've been really bad in that way, just very, very negative and down. And I'm like, no, I'm sending all these bad messages. So I think, like I said, maybe get some meditation tapes, doing the aggressive juicing, and then watching the movie every single day to get my mindset, because I have been so down on myself and just really bad. And yeah, so I think that's going to be my approach for now. So thanks for reminding me about that, because I had the movie out and I was going to watch it, you know, in a couple of hours. So thank you.
Wow, awesome.
it's how disempowering a situation like that can be. And when confronted with things that make us feel like we're doomed or trapped to something, just to think about what is this enabling me to see that I couldn't see before?
Right.
And, you know, and when I hear this, what it makes me just, you know, I think about, it just goes back to this, you know, our culture sets this up for us. This is where, if you follow the culture, that is where you wind up, whether it's, you know, needing hip replacement or having, you know, brain cancer or whatever it is. It's like, that's where that path leads. And if it makes that more abundantly clear to us, then what we can do is we can take a huge leap in perception and say, well, you know what? Not only do I disagree with the dietary laws or the dietary dictates, but maybe I disagree with everything else that created this scenario in my life. I mean, of course, you know, we create our lives. We create our lives because we collude with a concept that we are led to believe in. So how do we get our free will back? How do we break free from that paradigm because we know it doesn't work? This kind of adversity, this kind of situation, gives you the impetus or the ability to see just how damaging it is, so that the other aspects of it, whether it's the politics, leadership, the way kids are raised, what's on television, how vulgar everything's become. If we can start to see just how this is such a sinking ship, and how, you know, not to be too inflammatory here, but like, you know, everything that we see is pornography, and no. We've let that into our lives through our food, our thoughts, our media, our government, the people we elect to lead us. All, in every single way, we plug our kids into school systems that shut them down. On every single level, and that all of those little facets culminate into, you know, 50, 60 years later, a broken down system.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to, I'm taking up so much time, but briefly before I leave you, could you recommend a specific meditation tape for my situation? So I could go out, I'll just order from Amazon today.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite one, I think, is so transformative, is the one by Peggy Phoenix Dubrow, which I mention all the time. But Peggy, and then Phoenix like the bird, last name, yeah. D-U-B-R-O. The whole CD set is called I Remember I Am.
Okay.
And the particular track on that is called The Spiral Sweep, and that's my favorite one. It's hugely effective. The Spiral Sweep, it's only 23 minutes long. And then, of course, Everything by Almin, A-L-M-I-N. And
right.
And I've got some of those on the website, but they're simple, but they are hugely effective.
Oh, great.
Yep. And,
great.
Alicia, I also like Deepak Chopra's The Soul of Healing meditation.
Oh, great, The Soul of Healing. Thank you.
The Soul of Healing, yeah. He
order all of these. Yeah, because
as you mentioned,
not just the juicing. I have to do a whole mind-body thing, so I appreciate all your help. I truly do. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Alicia.
Thanks, Alicia. Natalia, we have a few more from the dashboard, and then just a reminder, if anyone has any questions that they want to ask, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. So here's one. The colon hydrotherapist I saw over the weekend seemed to feel enemas should be approached with caution. One of the reasons given was that the rehydrated waste takes on the consistency of mud or clay that usually doesn't fully leave and settles in pockets where it then dehydrates and becomes hard to remove. Wouldn't this be just as much the case with colonics? Another reason given was that, in her opinion, enemas are harder on the body. She has a few older clients who did decades of enemas and lost elasticity in their bowel tissue, significantly reducing their peristalsis. This is alarming to me. Could Natalia speak to these points?
Sure, I can. Let me take them apart one by one, because there are a bunch of things in there. So first of all, enemas versus colonics. Enemas are a little bit harder on the body than colonics are, simply because you're taking in water and you're not releasing simultaneously. So you're having to hold water, whereas the colonics, there's no holding of water except for the occasional hold when your bowel has gotten fairly empty and there's a lot of room to take in water and you want it to get up higher. So there's a difference behind the two reasonings. Here's what's really important to know. There are so many people out there who are doing colonics. It doesn't mean they're doing the dietetics behind the colonics. In fact, at the Wood School, I haven't been there myself, but I understand from many people that most of the people that are training at the Wood School, or that have been all these years, maybe it's changing now, are eating kind of anything and everything, and their cafeteria had anything and everything in it too. Now, again, this isn't firsthand, but this is what I understand to be the case. I know a lot of colon therapists who don't follow the protocol of awaken and release. In fact, that's not that well known. It's only becoming more and more well known now. So decades and decades of colonics, to me, that means nothing, because that just means that they could be going in, you know, once a month or once a week to try and flush out old, you know, dehydrated waste from dense foods that they're eating and living on. Unless somebody is awakening with the alkaline substances and hydrating all that for removal and living a lifestyle that's based in that, then it's anybody's guess what could happen. So the point is that we do this in context. And outside of this context, I can't vouch for anything anybody else does. It's like the idea I said earlier of not eating lunch or dinner, but if you're removing blockages and you're taking in alkaline juices, that's a completely different context to just deciding not to eat lunch and dinner. Because if you did that, you'd feel terrible because your body's used to the stimulation, it's used to the density, and you skip it and you just pass out because it's like a heroin addict not getting the heroin. Okay, so but properly administered and in the right context, everything's golden. In terms of hydrating waste that doesn't leave, if it's done with a gravity method and waste isn't pushed in, so without pressure, there's only good that can come from reconstituting that waste, even if it doesn't leave. It's this idea that it's going to be reconstituted and then not be able to leave and then get dehydrated again. It's not going to get any more dehydrated than it would have been before it was moistened. Remember that the kinetic energy and the peristalsis kick in when the substance is moistened. So only with the energy of the water, the movement of the water, can the peristalsis kick in and push the matter through. So if it's sitting there dry and dead, you've got two options. It can sit there dry and dead, and you can basically wind up with a defunct bowel because it's completely over decades, gets deadened, and there's only impacted waste in there. And the system isn't going to move well anyway because the peristalsis is going to be like a muscle that can't function because it's overwhelmed in waste and saturated in waste, and because there's not enough flora because it's been covered in this. Again, the analogy of the garden with the asphalt on top of it. So the one choice is to just let it all get more and more defunct, or the other choice is to reconstitute it and get as much out of you as possible. And everyone that I work with and know of who does enemas and colonics knows that when you awaken the stuff, it leaves. Now, there's some occasions where maybe getting around the right side of the transverse colon that or down near the cecum that you can reconstitute and not feel great afterward because it doesn't fully leave, but it's going to leave the next day because it's been reconstituted. If it hadn't been reconstituted, it wouldn't leave. So I want to make sure that's really, really clear. I don't want anyone to be confused or scared around this issue, and we've addressed it from a lot of different angles over the last few weeks, but it's one of those things that I don't want there to be lingering doubts about or concerns. If you're doing it in context and you're doing the right method and you're not forcing or pushing, or if it doesn't feel intuitively right somewhere along the way, then there's probably something wrong. But if you're doing it right, everything will feel right.
Okay. And so, Natalia, the other part of the question was about elasticity in the bowel tissue, significantly reducing. This is due to enemas, not colonics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Well, the same concept is if you're okay. First of all, because enemas are a little bit more difficult on the bowel, if they're depending on enemas and they're doing it in a dietary context that isn't water containing, to have mostly water containing foods coming into your body, there's no way you're going to wind up with ineffective enemas and a sluggish bowel, because all you're doing with the enemas is you're helping to flush out the residual matter that gets stuck, not this deep, dense stuff that comes with the modern American diet. It's really just a tool to help remove the residual. And it's not a good tool to use to get the deep accumulated waste. It's definitely a second choice and a much inferior choice. Enemas are the kind of thing I would use between colonics if you're trying to go for the really... If we're talking about somebody who's getting into this, 25 plus, okay, then at that point, they need to think in terms of deep, abundant waste elimination. Let's just be blunt. And for that, you need to have the colonics. Now, is it better to do some enemas to make sure that things are leaving than not to do any colonics at all? Yes, because you're getting matter out. But are you going to have the same effect as you would if you were going for gravity method colonics that are pulling the deep, abundant amounts of waste out? No, it wouldn't be the same. So you could conceivably tire your bowel trying to get that accumulated waste because it's so deep, and colonics are really good colonics are really the only way to get to it. But you can still ease the lower bowel and help keep things in motion by periodic enemas. But you don't want to eat the wrong things, have a lot of accumulation, and then keep blowing water up yourself. that's counterintuitive, and anyone who's really in their body would know that, and they would get that before their bowels got in any way, without elasticity. That would be someone who's really not tuning into themselves that winds up with loss of elasticity.
And so again, you're not going to wake up one day and not be able to have your own peristalsis. It's going to be a process.
All I can say is if you do things right, you'll know that your bowel eliminations get stronger, they get better. It might take 6 months. It might take a year for you to see that when you eat your dinner the next morning, it is cow plop in the commode. It's like, or the toilet. It's there. It's done. It's evident. But you will get to that point. You might have to, don't shoot the messenger, because the lineage, the integrity of the organs has been so compromised. But by the time we get this organ and then we cover it in all this muck that's never supposed to go into the human body, but our culture tells us, oh, it's fine, and go have a party and go out and have Christmas dinner and then have Thanksgiving and Halloween and Easter. It's all just so completely upside down and inside out. So you can't put an upside down, inside out kind of way of life into an already defunct system and not have to do some serious backpedaling that might seem a little bit complicated and confusing. But in the end, we have to get that out and then not go back to it in order to make things as right as they can be in our body.
Okay. Okay, well, so the person that entered that into the dashboard, if you have any more questions about that, just go ahead and ask again. But thank you, Natalia.
It's one of those things I know troubles people and scares them, and I just want to get the message out that if you're doing it in the right context, don't let these people scare you.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting, too. I mean, there's just a lot of differing information from colon hydrotherapists sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It absolutely is true. And you don't know what they're coming in with. You know, you don't know what their life experience is. You don't know what their background is, what their food addictions might be, what their personal perceived limitations might be. There are so many different things. And if you don't know those things, you could be easily misguided.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. How much time do you recommend to allow between taking your herbal answers, supplement, probiotic, and Candex or Candigon?
You should keep them separate. You can take, here's the thing. You could take the probiotic with your aloe, but I don't recommend taking the probiotic with the Candex or the Candigon, because they have things in them that kill off bad stuff, and they could conceivably kill off some of the stuff in the probiotic too. So maybe do one early in the day, like in the morning, and then another one when you're on an empty stomach again before dinner.
Okay. Okay, great.
Or the other one, yeah.
Okay, one question, and I think that you answered this on another call, but the puffiness underneath the eyes or bags under the eyes, what causes this, and when can people expect this to go away, or how?
Yeah, it's the same thing, as I said before, whether it occurs topically, cosmetically, some sort of facial thing that you don't love, or if it's eczema, if it's circles, if it's a sore throat or hemorrhoids. It's all just a manifestation of the inflammation and imbalance in the body. And when that goes away, when the body rebalances, I should say, when it harmonizes, these things will go away. Now, if you have had baggy, saggy eyes for a really long time, the tissue around the skin has been sort of reformatted to be, you may have lost some elasticity. You're going to probably regain some. In fact, even people who do this work who have a lot of weight to lose, they don't have that same sort of flabby skin after big weight loss, because things do really tighten up, because the integrity of the tissue inside and outside the body is going to show the improvements. But, if your skin's been sagging under your eyes for a long time, it might not completely go away. But certainly you should see a really big difference relative to, or in sort of direct reflection of how much you've been able to purge old waste from your tissues.
Okay.
And how much does, because when you do that, see, you purge the old waste and then the circulation flows better, then your breath is deeper. then your neurological system works more effectively. Your endocrine system's working better. You know, it's just getting that waste out of the way so the body can do it for all its systems can suddenly be switched back on again at full force. And then you'll see a big difference. But, you know, it depends on how long those SAGs have been setting in, you know, because there may still be some residual kind of, you know, look to them. But if we're talking about somebody who's in their 30s or 40s and has, you know, just a little bit of puffiness around the eye and stuff, it hasn't really sunk down that long yet, then that should go away. One of the best tools, two of the best tools that we have are inversions. So if anyone has a body slant board, that's the best because you can stay on it for quite a while to reverse gravity. My mother has been doing this since she was, I think, like 30, and she's 70 like next week or this week, and she doesn't have any bags in her eyes. She has no wrinkles. It's amazing. And she swears by the body slant board. Now, she does a lot of other things right, but when it comes to her body slant board, she says that is the single thing. And when she's traveling, she says she really misses it, and she sees the difference in her face. Wow. And, you know, when we're younger, we don't always see those you know, big differences. But when, you know, at that age, you know the difference between when you use something and it works and when you don't and it doesn't. And you know, just to encourage you guys to see if you can find one. For a while, we tried to manufacture one, and it got kind of complicated. There are various different kinds of inversion boards, but I find them to be essential as well. When I'm not pregnant, I use mine every day, too. And the other thing is facial exercises, and we have some of those in my new Youth Regeneration section on the community. But a few of those. The best one for the under eye is to stick the tongue out and straight down, and you'll see that it activates the muscle under the eye beautifully. So if everyone wants to take a second to do that, stick your tongue out and down.
I was another, just doing it.
Yeah. It's another trick I'll credit my mother with. And I thought, Mom, how do you not tell me about facial exercises? You know, you wait until, and, you know, it's just one of those things that people knew about back then. And, the people who found information that they were looking for. And we can plug these things in. Our facial muscles are just as in need of exercise as every other muscle in our body, and we tend to completely overlook that. So give your face a little workout, get the blood flowing and the muscles pumping, and you'll see a distinct difference.
All right. Wendy, go ahead.
My question has to do with probiotics. Hi, Natalia.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi. I went to my colon hydrotherapist, and I had mentioned to her that I was doing a 30-day cleanse with you and that I wanted to get a probiotic. And she said, I wouldn't recommend it right now because probiotics have yeast in them, and we're trying to eliminate all the yeast from your body at this point. So I would say hold off on it until after the cleanse. And I just wondered what you thought about that.
I'm not aware that all probiotics have yeast in them. I don't know that the Dr. Hira's or the Ascended Health do. That's a new one.
Natalia, it's Anna. I can actually speak to that.
Excellent, Anna. Thank you. Jump on in.
Sure. So most probiotics have a little bit of yeast in them that's meant to feed the bacteria. So the idea is that this good bacteria goes into the intestine, it cultivates, it makes it past the stomach acid if it's a good probiotic. And then there's a little bit of food that's built into the probiotic, which is the yeast that she's talking about. It is very, very different than systemic yeast overgrowth and fungal growth in the intestine. So if you're taking kind of a junky probiotic, not like the ones that we recommend, sometimes, yes, there's a little bit of sugar or a little bit of something to feed the bacteria that would be systemic yeast feeding. But most probiotics, and that includes the Dr. O'Hara's and the Ascended Health, have a non-systemic yeast feeding yeast, just how nutritional yeast doesn't feed systemic yeast. And so all it is a little bit of food to get the bacteria started so that once it makes a home, it can feed off of that before it starts to really flourish in the intestine.
Okay, so would you suggest that that I take it then, or should I still hold off until I'm through doing this work?
I just want to say, to me, from what Anna just explained, which was beautifully delivered, I wouldn't hold off on it. I mean, there's really no point because it's there to serve a purpose, and it's not going to be contributing yeast to the body. In fact, remember always too with the yeast monster that the idea is that we just need to drastically reduce the amount of yeast feeding substances. We don't need to remove every single last tiny one.
Okay.
Now, you pull all your sugars and starches, and then you want to leave in, you know, a glass of wine once a week. So that you're still starving the yeast monster.
Okay, see? Got it.
I would still probably go ahead and do it. Anna, what do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, as the bad stuff is going out, it's so beautiful to have the idea of the good stuff going in to keep it from coming back. I would definitely go ahead with it also.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Anna, go ahead. You have the mic.
Thank you. Hi, Natalia.
Hi, Anna.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have a question about working with clients when you're doing a detox, when you're going into some of your deeper cleansing. How have you dealt with the energy that's coming off of other people when they're telling you about the difficulties that they're having when you're going through your own?
Well, you become you know what's going on in the process of your body. So if you really, and I know you do, understand that what the symptoms are simply part of the removal of the problem, then you won't feel like you're in any way giving them bad information. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I would be in my early days, I'd have like these pimples and these like things coming out of my face. And I remember once I had this terrible kind of, kind of blockage in my bronchioles. And you know, there's just so much that was leaving because there was so much that needed to leave. And
right.
It needed to leave over many years, not just, you know, in the first 6 weeks of cleansing. So, you know, there would be times when I'd be sitting down with people and there'd be, you know, a distinct sign of something, you know, leaving. And, you know, but I knew because I didn't forget how far I'd come and what the difference was between this and preceding, you know, the awakening and the cleanse process. You know, I knew that it was all part of it. So I think if you can stay really clear about what, you know, what's going on in the body for you, then you won't hesitate to feel confident to guide them through. But, you know, it's a great reminder, especially, you know, to let other people know that it's not always going to be a bowl of cherries. You know, it might look like there's a bowl of cherries on your face one day. and that's part of it. So, you know, and that's where I think the hardest thing is working with people who are coming to you wanting perfection. And, you know, I dealt with that a lot in my practice because, you know, the people coming through would be socialites and actors and models and all these, you know, all these people who just their whole life revolves around their physical perfection and carrying the right handbag and having the right shoes and the whole thing. And so, you know, that's when it's a great tool to challenge yourself and your motivation. If you're, how do I put this? If you're somebody who is, and I don't mean you specifically, but if a counselor is somebody who is still kind of caught up in the snares of the world and being accepted and all these things, they're going to get derailed by this kind of an experience. But if they're doing it because they are aware of the deeper truth, that, you know, they'll help somebody get skinny and cute if that's what they want, but they're not going to change their way of thinking about all this just because that's what the person wants in those 2 hours, then they can stay very true to what they believe in, not feel like they're on display and their detox symptoms are somehow undermining their message, because the point is so much bigger. And if that person who's sitting with you doesn't get that, then let them move on. It's their loss. But it doesn't mean you need to compromise or question your own path because of what they're projecting. But also, in most cases, they're not even focused on what you think they're going to be focused on. If they're seeing some sort of blemish on you, it's probably just because you're so hyper attuned to the way the world sees you that you become self-conscious because of it. Does that make sense?
I completely understand and agree. I think my question was more along the lines of taking in people's energy that they're putting out, because I feel like mine is so open and raw at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying. So
it was more on the emotional, spiritual level that I'm just finding it hard to stop their energy from coming into my energy.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear what Natalia has to say, but also we can do a few exercises to protect, to basically create a field around you that protects you and contains your own energy so that you're not absorbing everything from everyone that comes along your way. There are like actual techniques that you can use that will help with that. But go ahead,
Natalia.
That sounds
lovely.
Yeah. No, it's really important. I mean, it's all about owning your own space. Because it really, I mean, theoretically, if the more you start to attune to the harmonious, the more you'll be distinctly aware of the inharmonious. And we don't get harmonious, and then, you know, we can still walk through the world being completely harmonious, even if the world is a cacophony. And that's not something that's going to change when you're more detoxed or you're further along the path. It's something that will continue to be necessary. You'll always have to hold your space in the midst of a mad, mad world. And I think we talked about this a little bit last time, too. And then Amanda will give you some tools for that. But that's just something that is part of our awakening, is saying, okay, well, the world's asleep. We're waking up. We're seeing things the way they really are. But for some reason, we're still here interfacing with these people because we need to be. And we need to know how to stay strong as we do it so we can actually do the job that we're here to do.
Yeah. Thank you.
It definitely won't go away. So having us all learn how to actually manage that is, I think, essential.
Yes. Thank you. It's great to hear the encouraging words.
Yeah, and I think one more thing I just add is that as we start to look at each other, and you know, as when people come to us, if we can remain in a state of compassion, and you know, not from a I'm up here on this pedestal and you're down here and I'm going to be compassionate to you, but you know, this is just another version of the stuff that I go through, but in another person, and I love, you know, and I live in a state of love, and I can understand this person's situation, and I'm going to conduct love and see them in this beautiful light as a spirit, then, you know, that I'm going to be able to connect with them and determine what they need. Because if I'm trying to protect myself so much, then I'm probably not going to get into them as deeply as I need to be to see what they really need. And so armor and boundaries can be very useful, but they can in another way also be they can be obstructive. And so especially when you're working with people like this and you want to help them heal and become whole, you're going to need to know how to have healthy boundaries while at the same time be able to merge with them on a certain level so you can get in to see where their pain is, where their struggles are, and then they'll start to get really honest with you, and any of their negative energy will probably be transformed into something that you can actually communicate with and that won't feel dangerous. Will feel more like, okay, here we are, two souls trying to do something for this person's highest good.
That's exactly what I want to be doing. So, thank you.
Yeah. No, you're going to be great at it. Okay.
Great. Okay, everybody, thank you. Thank you so much. What a great call. This audio and the Guided Rose Cleanse is a source of information only.
The information contained in this audio and in all Guided Rose Cleanse materials should by no means be considered a substitute for the advice of a qualified medical professional, who should always be consulted before beginning any new diet or other health program. Detox the World disclaims any liability for any adverse effects arising from the use or application of the information contained herein.